Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time. With your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, and normally I don't do this because we ain't getting paid by nobody, Marcus Vandenberg, but I'm going to go ahead and give a little product placement here. Because it's been that damn kind of week. So, as y'all can see, everybody on the video version, got my CBD gummies. Pop one of them bad boys, because we got some stuff to talk about this week, folks. Well, let me bring in my co-host while I finish my gummies so I'm not chewing on the microphone like Morgan Campbell. Let me bring in my co-host. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Marcus. It was the 3rd of September, that day I always remember, Vandenberg. What's going on, brother?
What a throwback! What a callback to how many years ago?
Oh, shoot! At least you're talking at least what, four? At least four.
Did he do that in D.C. or was that at his house? That was at his house.
Because that was before we had before I had met Morgan in person.
Yeah, so at least 5 years ago.
He was cooking and eating.
Yes,
and
that's right.
Because we had a trend, like Ronnie, Chris knows Ronnie. Ronnie Richards came on. Ronnie was eating. Our brother Mark Spears came on the show eating.
Yeah. we're just that comfortable. We are inviting podcasts now that we kicked off.
That's a testament to the show that we make people feel at home.
By the way, so that podcast I plugged last week?
Oh, yeah. I have it in my queue. I haven't listened to it yet.
Well, did you see who was on this week?
Who's on this week?
Another former Kings of Sport podcast host.
Oh, wow. So I guess if they're doing their homework, that means I should be getting a call sometime this week.
You should be. Maybe it was all like the plan to bring this back together.
It's long-term booking.
Yes.
I used to see him like once a month. I mean, but now it's the pandemic is going on, but now I never see Alfred. Cool. He used to do shows around.
I don't know this man. He could be walking down the street, and I would say sorry to this man.
Yeah.
But yes, that third voice you hear is a friend of the program. We do know this man's name. He didn't leave us. He's still here. He's still standing. Not only is he a friend of the program, but he is part of the family here on the Kings of Sport Patreon with the 20 Twin Twin and the Nubian Wrestling Advocates, which may have to reconvene here in the near future. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Ely, the professor, is back with us. How you feeling, Chris?
I'm feeling great, despite the chaos that's going on in the world right now. I'm doing the best I can, you know.
Chris out here rocking his AEW shirt for everybody watching the video feed. Looking like a black Hangman Page. Actually, at this point, Hangman Page might be the only person in wrestling I trust. And I'm gonna leave it at that, and we'll talk about that in a couple minutes, guys. But as I mentioned off the top, Mark, it's like it's been just in the span of time since the last time we talked, it's been crazy with what's been going on and continuing to go on in America. In terms of politics and race relations, the wrestling world has been just shaken recently by a ton of allegations of sexual misconduct against women and against men, too. Like, just rampant, predatorial, and unsafe work environments that these performers have had to deal with. And I guess we'll start, since this is a sports show, it's in the title, we can start with the continuing story of NASCAR, Marcus, trying to change its culture. And for that, again, we go back to, unfortunately, Bubba Wallace.
Yeah, so the last we talked NASCAR, they had just banned the Confederate flag at the racetrack, which for them was a huge step in the right direction, finally. And yep. on Sunday at Talladega, which is in Alabama, there was a race schedule. The race got rained out. But during all this, it came out that there was a noose that was found in the garage of Bubba Wallace. And, you know, I've been to a NASCAR race, and the only people that can get to the garages, you essentially need a hot pass. And hot pass is really only meant for media, and it's meant for teams of drivers. So while I think there were supposed to be 5,000 fans at the race yesterday, fans would not have that access to get to the garage. So whoever
and even left, media, like media mm-hmm. is pushed away just because of social distancing right now. Too. So they're not as close as they usually are.
Yeah, normally you, pre-COVID, you could sort of walk up straight to the garage and, you know, talk to the team and stuff. But like Nate mentioned, that has all changed at the moment. So whoever left this, it had to be someone affiliated by NASCAR, with NASCAR, either an employee of NASCAR, a driver of NASCAR. So that was Sunday night. And, you know, Bubba Wallace put out the statement addressing, you know, what happened, and essentially that, you know, he was going to continue to, you know, fight the bullshit, essentially. And then Monday rolls around, and the race is happening as we speak at the moment. But before the race started, Richard Petty, who is a, you know, Richard Petty is like trying to be like the NBA equivalent. Yeah, I mean, he's, you know,
he's Magic Johnson. Bill Russell?
He might be Bill Russell, yeah. He's one of the.
Yeah, he used to drive the NWO race car, didn't he?
Everything is wrestling.
Not his best moment.
Yeah. Well, at least he was the A team at the B team for NWO. He wasn't driving the Wolfpack car.
Yeah. Although, given how he's come out in support of Bubba, who is one of his drivers on his team, you know, he could have been down with FUBU Kevin Nash back in the day.
He could have. but, so he had expressed earlier on social media that he would be there at today's race to sort of stand with Bubba Wallace. And then
– and that's a big deal because for anybody that doesn't know, that's just like hearing that, and like, why wouldn't the team owner be at the racetrack? Like, he hadn't gone to any of these races since COVID started because he's like 90-something. So he ain't trying to be out here around these people. So it means something for him to actually go down there to stand beside his driver.
And he was not in Talladega Sunday. So he made the decision late Sunday night to travel to Alabama to do this. And then before the race started, a bunch of the drivers, I think all the drivers actually, pushed the car that Bubba Wallace was driving as sort of this sign of solidarity. And if you have not seen the photos or the video, it's pretty moving. And Bubba started crying. He got out the car and he was crying at all this. But essentially all 39 drivers got out and did this thing for him as a show of like support for him. I think this is important because the thing I noticed last night was you did not see a lot of NASCAR drivers tweeting anything about this. In fact, you saw more NBA players that were tweeting support of Bubba Wallace than NASCAR guys. And, you know, to be fair, like, look, this broke kind of late. I don't know what people were doing last night, if they were, you know, not awake or not around.
The only NASCAR, prominent NASCAR figure, I should say, that I saw, like, coming out really strong against was your boy Junior. Dale Junior was out on SportsCenter, and I think he released a statement on Twitter as well last night. But other than that, you're right. Like, it was figures from other sports rather than NASCAR itself addressing.
Marty Smith of ESPN had a.
Oh yeah, shout out to Marty Smith.
I saw that this morning.
I like Marty Smith, man. He's like, Marty Smith is like if Clay Travis had been born with a conscience.
Because they both playing the same song, except one of them is angry and hateful and spiteful. And then Marty Smith is just good people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, shout out to Marty Smith. But, Chris, like, I know, you know, people that may not know, they just think you some hot shot Hollywood professor out there in L.A., but Chris got these Southern roots. So, you know, were you a fan of NASCAR growing up, or were you around people that liked NASCAR?
I was a little, because if for the people that don't know my life path, I was born here in Los Angeles. I lived in Los Angeles until I was in the seventh grade, and then I moved to Knoxville, Tennessee, like right after the L.A. riots. My folks had enough. They were
it's like, we out.
We getting the hell out of here.
So let's go see what's going on with Glenn Jacobs out there.
Yeah. So we moved to Knoxville, Tennessee. And then one of the first, like, celebrity people I met in Knoxville was Rusty Wallace. Mm. So that kind of made me a fan, because I was a kid, and he was real cool when I met him. So that was a moment for me. So, you know, I never was, like, a big time follower of the sport, but I did like it for what it was, and it was culturally out there in Knoxville. It was a big thing, this Bubba Smith, not Bubba Smith. Okay, This Bubba Wallace stuff is just, I mean, I'm not surprised, because, you know, this is when, anytime you try to integrate, or not even saying integrate, because they, you know, there've been black NASCAR drivers before, but when you try to make like seismic change to any kind of sports league, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you get, you know. Mm. I'm not that surprised by it. I am like happy at the people like Marty Smith, like Earnhardt Jr. coming out to support him, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. like, you know, he kind of saw the changes that needed to be made a while ago. I mean, he was in a Jay-Z video for you know, I mean. Like, I know Jay-Z paid him a stack for it. I know that wasn't cheap, but I mean, still, you know what I'm saying? Something like that could do lasting damage to your image, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, to take those kind of risks, I think was always a good thing for the sport. And I will say this about NASCAR, with their reaction to Bubba Wallace, I think they've got, they're doing a little bit better than the NFL with the way they're trying to take advantage of this moment, you know?
It's kind of like what we talked about last time with Mike Marcus, in that NASCAR is having to kind of fight this culture war that it in part helped fester over the years. And they might end up losing, you know, 30% of their audience over this. But in the long run, they may gain more, because you're going to have a more diverse fan base. You're going to have a more diverse crowd when they're actually able to open back up to full capacity. So, like, other than, you know, the kind of prominent people, the one thing that's kind of stuck out to me is seeing the fans react to this. And it's almost split right down the middle, where, like, half the fans are like, good for you, Bubba. We support you. We stand with you. And then the other half is like, what about Jesse Smollett? Mm-hmm. And they trying to make this like something Bubba came up with himself. So what do you make about this, Marcus?
Yeah, I forgot to mention, before the race, or you know, since the race was postponed, there is a protest outside of Talladega about the Confederate flag. So the Confederate flag was, well, not on Talladega property. It was still very prominent yesterday in the city, because there is this protest for the flag. So, but to your point, Nate, yeah, a lot of Juicy Smollett jokes.
the famous French actor.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people believing that Bubba did this to keep his 15 minutes of fame going, which dumb. It has been.
And Bubba wasn't even there, according to the reports. Like, Bubba didn't find the noose. Like, somebody else found it, and he was alerted to it later.
Yeah. NASCAR fans are the reason why the sport has such the, I think, stereotypical image it does at the moment. It's not the drivers per se. Part of it is the actual NASCAR organization. I think they could have done this stuff a lot sooner. But to say that the drivers are racist, I mean, even if you count Kyle Larson, I think that's probably a bit of a stretch. But the fans have made it clear. If it wasn't clear before the last couple of weeks, it's clear now. They do not want black people, minorities, people that don't look like them invested in watching the sport. And I think that's the issue NASCAR is going to face, is how do you continue to promote this sport to a fan base that is now actively sort of revolting what's going on?
Yeah, that's going to be the big challenge, because they are. They're going to have to accept that they're not going to be able to keep everybody on board. You know, there's going to be a portion of fans that are like your man Ray Cicerelli, who quit but then never quit, really. I was just playing. I'm still here, even though I'm racist. I need that NASCAR money. There's going to be some fans that never come back. But if I'm NASCAR, I have to think, okay, we might have to take a hit for a year or two. But down the road, we're going to open this up to more black people, more or Hispanic people, more Asian folks, you know, more people in the LGBTQ community. Because I think Chris is right. And the fact that, like, I was never a NASCAR fan growing up. We talked about this last time, Marcus. But there were certain drivers that were cool to me as a young black kid. Mm-hmm. Like, both of the Earnhardts, Junior and Senior, were cool back in the day. Your boy, who was your boy that unfortunately killed that person? Tony Stewart.
Smoke, yeah.
Like, before all that stuff, Tony Stewart was the guy. Like, Tony Stewart was cool before all that stuff happened. So, like, there are personalities. And like you said, Marcus, this isn't like the 80s, where, for lack of a better term, it was a lot of rednecks, a lot of what people would stereotype as rednecks driving. Now you got a lot more diverse people, a lot more younger crowd driving. People that are more tech savvy, as we saw during the virtual races, which I thought were pretty cool. So I think NASCAR has an opportunity, but they have to be willing to take some of the heat for it. And so that's going to be the question, because we've seen this, Marcus, from other organizations. Like, it's great to have a statement and to say you want to change things, but at the end of the day, are you willing to put your money out there and lose a couple dollars in the process?
It reminds me of the NHL. The NHL's in the same boat, where the players have not done enough to support the minority players that are in the league. So when situations do pop up, when, you know, that Rangers pop
also,
that
hold on, time out, Marcus, because I'm mad at you for this. I'm pointing a finger right at you through the camera. The people at home can see me pointing a finger at my tag team partner, Marcus Vandenberg, the author of the Ask a Hockey Negro segment. Marcus, why it take Twitter to tell me hockey was invented by black people? That should have been your job, sir.
That was news to me. I saw that and I was like, oh, really?
Like, I didn't, like, you could have knocked me over with a feather after I read that, Marcus. I'm like, wait a minute. Hockey was invented by brothers?
This is all our fault.
Basketball was invented by a white guy.
So. I mean, we knew that one, though. We knew that one.
Yeah, but I mean, it's all relative.
Cause this is why I turn into Chris and get all militant. See, because Marcus, they'll tell you when the white man makes something for the black man, but they won't tell you when the black man creates something that the white man can use and get profitable off of. Yeah.
That's a fair point.
But see, this is what happens when you bring Chris on the show. Like, it automatically jumps up three levels in militancy. But Chris, do you think NASCAR will be able to continue to stay the course, no pun intended,
this? Bubba Wallace is getting a Nike contract if he hasn't already gotten one. this is a no-brainer. I'm sure Nike is paying attention right now. If he put it this week, if he doesn't have a Nike contract by the end of the week, I will be surprised. I'm dead serious about that.
And maybe Marcus, like, just thinking about strictly a sports thing, a sports perspective. Because a lot of the comments I saw were that, because I didn't know Bubba Wallace until a year ago. Mm-hmm. But apparently, like, he was a really good driver moving through the ranks. But he hasn't won anything on the NASCAR level because his equipment hasn't been up to par with some of the other teams. So maybe this groundswell around him will force Richard Petty and that team to actually put money into this car so we can see. Like, we can see if he's actually good or not, because it's hard to tell if this guy is good because his equipment isn't as good. And so it's not a level playing field.
Yeah, he's not won a race. He's been, I think, top 10 maybe 6 times. So over 3 years now. So not anything to write home about. But he is only, 26? So he's still
Which is pretty young for NASCAR.
And that's also been some of the trolls come back to. It's like, well, he's not good anyway, so why does it matter? the impact of Bubba Wallace being in NASCAR will be felt, you know, 20, 25 years from now, when sort of like Tiger, we might see other black people, brown people getting into the sport. The fact that he, and even with similar to Danica Patrick, like Danica did not have what would be considered a great career in terms of winning races, but like the fact that she was able to do what she did for years in NASCAR, like that will eventually pay off within the sport. It's just going to take some time.
Yeah. We'll see how this story unfolds. We'll see what Bubba can do in this race. But let's stay on the topic of race, and let's talk about the country for a minute, gentlemen. Because Chris, the last time we talked to you seemed like it was in a whole different world. It was a world. It was a world before the murder of George Floyd. It was a world before the protest that came afterwards. It was a world before people started talking about defunding the police. It was a world before your boy Trump decided to have a rally and nobody showed up. So Chris, like, just kind of off the top, what have you thought about the last month in America in terms of like race relations, how things have unfolded and how our government has reacted to that?
Well, With the murder of George Floyd, when they didn't arrest Derek Chauvin that night, and people were asking for it, I kind of knew it wasn't going to end well. In my lectures, when I lecture students, I get a lot of students when I talk, because I talk about the L.A. riots, I talk about the Watts riots, I talk about what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I talk about all that stuff in my classes.
I didn't even speak on the fact that now apparently white people know what Juneteenth is. So progress.
So it's one of those things where when I talk about the LA riots, and I have a lot of 18, 19, 20 year old like white students, they are real intrigued by that moment in time. So when everything happened, I could kind of feel the angst of some of the students. I had students that went out there and protested, peacefully protested, I hope, and did things. But here's the thing too. I don't think that all the people that rioted are just like agitators coming to disrupt things. I really do think that some of the people that went there with peaceful intentions got let the crowd and all that stuff rile them up. And I do think that a few of them rioted. And I think that what we need to do as a society is kind of pay attention to that. You know what I'm saying? Because I think as a nation, we've got the virus going on, and we've, you know, a lot of things just happened this year. It started with Kobe dying, then the coronavirus, then this George Floyd stuff, and is a lot of stuff happening back to back to back. And during the COVID era, all we can do is pay attention. That's like really the only options that we got. All I did was watch the news during when all the protests and riots were going down, man. I couldn't take my eyes off of it. My girlfriend would be like, yo, let's go to bed. And I stayed up like all night just watching this stuff, waiting for it to calm down, and listening to all like the angry people interview, the people that were looting. I had a couple friends out here lose businesses. And it's sad, but at the same time, there's good that could come from that, you know? And riots are only saved for those occasions where the unrest just reaches such a like paramount level that, you know, you don't believe in rules anymore. And when people do not believe in rules, these are the things that they do, you know what I'm saying, is they riot. And we can't have that happen again. But we need to pay attention to these protests. And I'm glad that they peacefully protest in Tulsa. So I was very scared of that night. So I just knew for sure that, you know, it wasn't going to go down like that. They were down real peacefully and stuff. So props to everybody in Tulsa, even the Trump supporters that, you know, didn't agitate.
It's crazy, Marcus, because, you know, like Chris is saying, I think the fact that we're all in a pandemic and there's not really a lot of distractions, you know, like sports and things of that nature, people are almost forced to watch the news and see what's happening. They can't turn away. And like, I'm watching MSNBC right now, and it's a month later and there's still protests going on. Mm-hmm. So this feels like more than just a moment. And I think we've learned something over the past couple of weeks, Marcus, that the two most targeted groups in American society, number one, a young black men and young black women. And the second most targeted group in American society is old white statues, because they coming down.
Yeah. What did Trump say? It's part of our history. What are we doing?
Yeah. Have you seen, Marcus? Because I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but the fact that it's still going on intrigues me. Like, have you seen, not just us, because we've been mad, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But have you seen white people this committed to the cause ever in your lifetime? Because I can't remember a time where they've been this down for the struggle.
No, this is a first, which is, I don't see scary, because scary is not the right word, but it's eye-opening that they're this upset. Which is good. I mean, you take all the support you can get.
I just think it's
Chris, who's calling?
It's a $5 fine, dog. he got Trump calling him.
I think it has to do more than, you know, sort of sports being gone and stuff. I just think it's this perfect storm, as you mentioned before, of just people out of work, people.
Yeah.
Broke, people scared, and the biggest, I think, agitator is President Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
I think that, you know, you don't want to ever, you know, count a win before it happens, but I do think the last 4 years of Trump has ensured that people will take this election a lot more seriously in November. And I think the issue will be, will people be allowed to properly vote without any roadblocks and obstacles that are sort of tossed the direction. But
yep.
I think that Saturday's speech, you know, the crowd was, you know, the empty seats is one thing, but if you watch the speech, he just seemed like a guy who did not seem interested in running for president a second time. Like,
yeah.
he seemed...
He doesn't want to lose, but he really doesn't want to put in the work to keep his job.
Like, yeah, it seems to me like he's he definitely doesn't want he doesn't want to go to jail either. You know what I'm saying? Another 4 years kind of protects him from any kind of prosecution.
Because you already know Joe ain't pardoning nobody in that administration.
Nope.
Yeah.
But yeah, his speech.
His best course of action would be to just resign and let Pence pardon him, but he's not going to do that.
Yeah, no, he's not that smart.
Unless he wins.
Yeah. But yeah, he just the crowd that was there, the energy seemed down.
Except for those random three black dudes that posted on Twitter. Dancing to Michael Jackson. This what the mainstream media won't show you.
they got to get off of that. This is what the mainstream media conspiracy theory. It's just complete nonsense.
Like, ain't nobody trying to put your non-rhythmic ass on MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing to Michael Jackson.
The crowd seemed pretty diverse considering the location and the candidate. Mm. I'm not sure what that's about, but I did notice that.
I think like a lot of almost all the black Trump supporters I've seen, except for Diamond and Silk, because they're on a whole other level. Like, they seem to be from like Texas, Oklahoma. Like, there's something about like those southwestern states, maybe, that black folks are just. It just hit different out there.
When I talk, anecdotally, when I talk to black Trump supporters, they never really try to say he's not racist. What they do is they'll say Biden is racist also, and you got to pay attention to Trump's policies, which I could, like, I was watching this lady, Angela Stanton, on The Breakfast Club this morning, and she was defending Trump. And, you know, Trump is the reason why she got pardoned from her jail sentence. So if I understand why any black person supports Trump, I at least understand why she supports Trump.
Right.
But, you know, there are certain black people that have their issues, you know, like some black people, they think, and I've talked to these people, they think abortion is murder. That is how they look at abortion. So like for me, I don't even entertain discussions. I'm not one of those people that says I know when life starts or doesn't start, but I know that I don't like kids in cages. You know what I'm saying? I know, you know, when these kids are born, you got no problem, you know, treating them like crap.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're fetuses and not even fully realized people yet, that is when you have the
Chris, Obama put them kids in cages too, and he did some drone strikes, I heard.
And it always goes back to that, but I'd say, like, you know, anybody out there, you just got to kind of have to do your research and make your decisions based off of that. Because I mean, I know some black people that can give very compelling arguments as to why you should support Trump. But if you're not an educated person, I'm not even talking about college degrees. I'm just saying, if you don't like read the newspaper or little things like that, it's very, very easy to fall for that kind of nonsense and to think that PragerU is an actual university, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's just kind of the society. We really do need to promote, like, you know, intellectualism and being smarter and just with the nonsense that's going on in the world today, because that's what the Republican Party is running off of. He's running off of conspiracy theories and trying to get us to believe a lot of nonsense. Yeah.
So I was going to say, Marcus, real quick, like one of the things that I find is so interesting, you mentioned like the last 4 years may have crystallized people's thoughts on Trump. I think that's accurate, but also even more specifically the last 4 weeks or last 4 months, because of how he's handled COVID, because of how he's handled the race stuff that's been going on. Like, I think in 2016, you can make an argument. Like, it's not the argument I'd make, but you can make an argument like, okay, yeah, DC needs to be shaken up. Trump's an outsider. Let's go with the outsider. But now you've seen what this dude has done for the last 4 years, and in particular, the last 4 months. So it's like there's no gray area anymore with him. You know what he's about. And so it's a choice of, do we want to keep doing the same thing we've been doing and probably get worse? Or, yeah, I'm not really enthusiastic about Biden, but it's a hell of a lot better than the alternative.
Yeah, and I think going back to COVID, like, COVID kills Democrats, it kills Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think that's going to be the thing where, you know, despite the idiots you saw on TV who were being interviewed and claimed, you know, they didn't know it was contagious or they didn't think about bringing the virus back home. Like, there's
you trampling on my freedoms by making me wear a mask, sir.
Yeah, there's definitely a portion of the Republican base that has been impacted by COVID that is smart enough to realize it didn't have to be this way. If Trump,
there's a reason all them people ain't show up to the rally, and it exactly. wasn't just because of some K-pop kids on the internet. It's because they was like, I ain't trying to get sick.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, it had nothing to do with the quote unquote protests outside. You know, partially had the inflated numbers had to do with the K-pop and the teenagers, but you know, you could still find a way to attract 20,000 people. But
if you really about that Trump lifestyle,
yeah, and it's not like, Trump hasn't done this in what, 3-4 months. It's not like he goes to Oklahoma that often. Like this should have been a big deal, but people are.
It's like not, WCW Nitro coming to your town. They ain't been there in 3 years. You ain't gonna miss it.
Yeah. Like, people are smart. Yeah. Smart enough.
Yeah. And the thing is they've like with they haven't been there in a while. You would think that the protest was, people pretend to be dumber than they actually are. I think the hardcores were gonna go regardless. And then, you know, most people that have been affected by this virus, because I think now we're all at a point, we're only just a few degrees separated by from someone who's had the virus, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know a bunch of people that have had it right now. I had one friend die from it, so it is what it is. I will say this, Nate, though. I am excited about voting for Biden, and I've made myself excited about voting for Biden. and I'll tell you this much, too. Here's the thing with all that stuff. Biden is not what I think people got to understand is, you're not going to vote for Biden and your life isn't going to magically change, right? Like, when you voted for Obama, if you were miserable before Obama became president, you probably stayed miserable after he became president, unless you just made certain changes to your life and all that stuff. But here's once you vote, like, this is the thing with voting. It's like, you vote for these people, and then you have to make sure that they fulfill what your interests are. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm a member of the NAACP. That's why I'm a member of the National African American Gun Association, and things like that. Is okay. Because
Chris saying he got that burner if you want to try him. That's what he's saying.
LA is not as easy as it is to get a gun as it is, you know, out there. But I'm still a member, you know. I still have to go to the ranges too. But the reason why I joined these organizations is because they have special interests. and I want them to fulfill my interest. And being a part of those organizations, my voice gets heard. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's why super PACs exist, is because, like, you know, so we have a voice, we have interest. NAACP is a pretty powerful super PAC. I used to not really know much about them as a kid. As I got older, I understood a little bit more about them. The National Rifle Association is a very powerful super PAC.
Yep.
All these different organizations that have vested interests in elections, and that's why they win all the time. So I really do think that we have to kind of get off this idea of Biden is just, you know, another thing. I think Biden should try to work for the black vote. I definitely think that. I definitely think Biden should try to do more to show that he's working in our interests. But I do think that we need to start, we need to get excited about voting for Biden and perpetuate that. And then once he's in office, if he's not doing what he's supposed to do, then, because Trump is definitely not going to do anything in our interest, right? Those are our options. It's Trump and Biden. So
yeah.
But Biden, you got to hold his feet to the fire. That's why I'm pretty sure he is going to have a black woman vice president, because the society demands it at the moment. Right? Mm-hmm. And I think we just got to stay on his ass.
You also got to think about the Supreme Court, who right. made a couple big decisions over the past few weeks. You got to think about the down ballot candidates and getting Lindsey Graham up out the paint and maybe. Mm-hmm. getting Mitch McConnell up out the paint and things of that nature. Like, so it's not specifically just about who's at the top of the ticket. You know, it is right. again, going to WCW, you might not really be excited about the main event, but you got to be there for that undercard, the cruiserweights.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm actually glad, because I did get word last month that he was gut. Like when the lady was going to do her tell all interview with Fox, and then she canceled at the last minute. Mm. So then Biden just didn't say who his VP pick was going to. I do think it's better that he's doing it this way to give us kind of time to, give himself time to think about it and give us time to kind of be a more of an influence on what he does in the future, right? We gotta get involved. That's just the bottom line with us. This, I mean, you don't have the luxury of sitting this one out if you care about policy.
Hey Chris, I have a question. Will we get a VP before Biden is officially? Has he hit the number in terms of the delegates yet?
Yeah, he's hit the number now, so he is the nomination. I heard a lot of the Bernie supporters were holding on. He's still not the nominee yet. Yeah, he definitely is. They had the last. We do have some elections tomorrow, but those are going to be for like congressional seats and things of that nature. But yeah, Biden is the guy, for better or for worse. I was going for Harris early on, and then when she dropped off, I think I was going for Yang. And look, Biden is the dude now. Those people don't matter anymore, man. It's Biden, and we now it's up to us to be vocal about the things that we want. We need to do this now. Like, I mean, there's never been a better time in society for black people to start demanding shit. Like, they got rid of Aunt Jemima. They got rid of Uncle Ben's and stuff. You know, they're getting rid of stuff, man.
They got rid of the cream of wheat dude. Like, he won't hurt nobody. Boss, I just wanted to make some cream of wheat. Why are they so mad at me?
What I love about these companies is that they act like they didn't know how racist those things were. But if you look at Aunt Jemima when she first came out, versus how she looks now, they definitely modernized her.
She went from Harriet Tubman to Claire Huxtable.
So they
Aunt Jemima had to glow up.
If you look at my cousin sent me something on the Cream of Wheat guy and how he looked in the beginning. Mm. And like these companies knew. But for marketing reasons, they did what they did.
Well, and here's the other thing with that too, Chris, because I was talking with my buddy Scott and Steve Willie, who's been on the Kings of Sport before, over on the main event last week. We were talking about Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben and the Cream of Wheat dude, and it's like, okay, like that's all well and good, but if that's all these companies are doing, then they're not really helping anything. Like I need you to do more at Quaker Oats than just take the picture off the box. Like I need you to contribute to some of these advocacy groups and contribute to some of these other people out here who are trying to do good in the community.
Well, it's like what Al Sharpton said at George Floyd's funeral. He's like, after Roger Goodell gave that apology, he said, "Don't apologize. Give Colin Kaepernick his job back." Mm. And I do think Colin Kaepernick will be playing in the NFL this season. I almost think it almost has to happen. And look, NASCAR got rid of the Confederate flag. I don't think the NFL wants to be lagging behind NASCAR when it comes to these kind of things. So I do think Kaepernick is getting a job in the NFL. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the only difference is they could offer Kaepernick a job. It could be third-string quarterback. We still don't know if Kaepernick is willing to take that job. If he knows going in that he doesn't have a chance to start, because he's been so, you know, the camp is pretty quiet. So I think he'll get offers.
Yeah.
Will he?
It's got to be the right situation.
It's got to be the right situation. Yeah. And then that becomes, you know, a harder thing. My theory is because of COVID, they're going to expand rosters just to protect teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, teams that were carrying maybe two quarterbacks would carry three. Teams that were carrying three quarterbacks would carry four. And Kaepernick will get his offer that way. And same with Cam Newton. I think Cam's a little different because I think Cam is younger and sort of B has been playing these last, you know, obviously few years. So I think he'll be more patient about where he signs. But the excuse that there's no roster spot, I think that'll be gone.
Yeah. I do think, you know, Marcus is right. Like it has to be the right fit. I think there's a couple teams in mind where he could work as a backup. I think there's a couple teams where he could challenge for a starting gig. But I do think COVID might actually be the blessing in disguise because they will have to carry more people just because you never know who's going to test positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, this could be the break that Cap needs. But Chris brought up something a little while ago, Marcus, when he was talking about, you know, people having a voice and people speaking up and speaking out. And that brings us to the awkward transition of talking about what's going on in the world of wrestling, a sport that three of us follow. What's going on in the world of wrestling over the past few days with multiple stories of performers being either raped or sexually assaulted or sexually harassed or made to feel uncomfortable. And unlike years past, I think, again, this feels very similar to what's been going on with racial relations in America, Marcus, where 5 years ago or 3 years ago or maybe even a year ago, you could kind of sweep complaints under the rug. But because we're all living in a time where everybody is focused on the same thing and people are out of work, like you said, and unemployed and frustrated and tired of dealing with stuff, like this weekend was like, everybody was getting it that had done some dirt in the past, it seems. So what did you make about, you know, the whole speaking out movement and kind of wrestling coming to terms with some of the dirt in his past?
Yes. First off, props to the women and men that came forward to share their stories, because it takes a lot of courage to put yourself out there, especially on social media where you know that if you're a woman, you're going to get more crap from men who are
just in general.
Let alone when you're accusing someone's favorite wrestler, God forbid, of sexual assault. So, you know, props to them for coming forward. I think the most, I guess, eye-opening part about all this is I don't think we're done. We have not really hit on a lot of WWE performers that, you know, you would assume just based on the number of reports that have come out this past weekend that there are people on the main roster that were at one part working in the Indies or working in the UK that were probably also caught up in this. So, you know, I think this is just the beginning, and it's going to be really interesting to see what the companies do to respond to these allegations. We've seen WWE has fired people. I think it wasn't WWE. It was Progress suspended people. WWE has put out a statement essentially saying that there's no tolerance for sexual assault, child abuse. So we'll see if they actually, you know, stick to that. The thing that happened today with Sammy Guevara was interesting because Sammy basically, when 2016, I think, he was doing a podcast and he made a joke about wanting to rape Sasha Banks. And this was discovered and tweeted to AEW. And then AEW this afternoon put out a statement. Well, first Sasha put out a statement saying that she had talked to Sammy today and, you know, discussed everything that had happened. And then AEW went ahead and suspended him indefinitely for something that took place 4 years ago. So I think, you know, stuff like that, it's fair game. If you're representing AEW, who, you know, you're part of TNT, you're part of this bigger company, like there's no tolerance for this stuff. So I think this is just the start of it.
Yeah, and Chris, like for me, it always feels like wrestling is like a step or two behind where the culture is, because when Me Too first popped off a couple years ago, like I thought for sure, and Marcus, we probably talked about this on the show, that like when is wrestling gonna have their come to Jesus moment? And Chris, it's like now it arrived late, but at least now these victims are having a chance to speak up and have their voices heard. So I'm wondering what you make of it. Also, as an AEW fan, like we see the shirt. People were watching on the Patreon. They can see the shirt. What did you make of the way that AEW handled the Sammy Guevara situation?
I think they did a good job with that situation and the Jimmy Havoc situation.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Because you hire these people, you don't want to just come across like you're kicking them to the curb the first sign of something bad happening. But at the same time, you also want to show them that these things are going to be taken seriously. So for Jimmy Havoc, you know, he'll have his day in court, hopefully, and then, you know, they can see what they're going to do with him. I think he's in a little worse shape than Guevara. That joke was that's just the distasteful joke. He was 22 when he made the joke. But you just can't. Those kind of jokes aren't funny.
No.
There was a situation that happened at the school where it was a female student, and she said that about one of our male instructors, and she was like, oh, I just want to blank him and stuff, and then you're not gonna catch me on camera saying that phrase, by the way. no one's twisting my words.
Anyway, Chris said, if you get jammed up, don't mention my name.
Yeah, but what happened with her is she had to sit out the rest of the semester for it because the school was like, you know, we cannot tolerate this kind of thing. I do think it's different if a girl makes that kind of joke than a guy, but the thing is just you can't say things like that anymore And I think this is a good teachable moment for Guevara, and hopefully, you know, he doesn't make that mistake again. And I was going back listening to some of the Sean Oliver interviews that he does, where he's talking to these wrestlers, and they're just saying the most disgusting, abominable shit that you've ever heard. Like, there was an interview he did with the Sandman, and one of these stupid fans asked them how you get a rat to go home with you or whatever. And then Sandman goes into like detailed step-by-step instructions as to, you know, roofing up a girl, getting her back to your hotel, or pillow. He doesn't use the term roofie, so I don't want to get sued or anything. But he says, give her a bunch of pills, wait till she passes out, and then this stuff is not funny. I'm surprised. No. Either what happened is I've never heard that before, or I heard it before and thought to myself, oh, wrestlers. And, you know, but that is disgusting, man. And there's so many of these interviews on YouTube where these guys are saying this kind of stuff, man. Like, and the wrestling industry has been in need of a change for a while. It kind of, like, with when, what's his name? ACH went nuts over the lips shirt. But, you know, all this stuff has been like decades in the making.
Here's how crazy wrestling is, Marcus, and it just was reiterated to me over this past weekend. It's like, I think we're all of the age where we remember when Rob Feinstein got busted for the child pornography deal. The fact that this dude's still been working, right, and still been around these shows, and still been around these fans, right? Some of them who are younger. Like the fact that nobody ever kicked that dude out because he was making money for people, right? The fact that you've got wrestlers who are trainers and in positions of authority and taking advantage of their students, whether they be male or female. Like the fact that people just kind of turned a blind eye. The fact that you had wrestlers taking advantage of fans, right? Like it's stuff that I think everybody assumed or everybody thought or everybody kind of surmised was going on. But to have all of these stories of these people coming out, particularly the women, you know, I think this has been a big week for them. In the fact that finally somebody is listening. And, you know, Chris mentioned the podcast earlier. I think a great listen is for anybody that wants to hear more on the subject is when Kristen Ashley went on with John and Way over at Post Wrestling and spoke on this this past week, because just like right now, a lot of white people should be listening to black people because there's a perspective you haven't heard. I think, you know, a lot of men need to be listening to these women because they're speaking from a place of experience that a lot of us haven't been.
Yeah. And I mean, let's not pretend that, I mean, up until what, 3-4 years ago, like people, and it's about the broad sense, like we did not treat this stuff seriously, not seriously enough. Like, look at Chris Brown. Did the Chris Brown thing happen? I think 2008 or 9. If that happens in 2020, like you do not hear Chris Brown on the radio. Like it's a different situation.
Right.
Even 10 years ago, 11 years ago, and you had photo evidence, like you had everything that laid out what he did. And the fact that he still has not just a fan base, but like he has not really been impacted by any of this.
Nope.
I think that's
same for that. Who was it? That producer that assaulted Kesha. And this dude's still out here making records.
R. Kelly.
R. Kelly, yeah.
What happened with Chris Brown is he was originally on tap to be kind of like a successor to like Michael Jackson or somebody like that, or Prince or whatever. That's what a lot of the music magazines were saying. And then when that happened, what he was able to do is go from being like this poppy singer that white people like to turning himself into like this R&B bad boy.
He turned into Bobby Brown. Like, let's be real with it.
Yeah, exactly. And able to kind of reinvent himself where he's, granted, he's not making as much money as he could have made, but he's still in a very good standing, you know, so much so where I saw there was Twitter posts where girls were saying that they would let him beat them, you know, and things of that nature, right? So there's definitely, wrestling's been due for a cultural shift for quite some time, and I'm glad that these moments are happening. I just want to see what comes of it.
Well, here's a big question though, guys, because we've been talking about the performers, and obviously that's a problem. But one could make the argument that the bigger problem is the culture, right? The bigger problem is the people in positions of power.
Right.
And if those people aren't changing, and I'm not going to say no names because we don't need them. We don't need that smoke right now in the middle of a pandemic. But there are people that have been in charge of these companies for years or in some cases decades. If those people don't change, Marcus, do you think that there will ever really be actual change if the players are still in place?
No, because there are people within the locker room that could have stopped this, you know, years ago. And they did not. The same thing with racism. There are people within the WWE locker room that could have stopped a lot of the stuff that's come up over the years. You know, they haven't. It is not. It feels like it's not the industry that is made out to have sort of people speak out. Like, look, they should really be a union, right? The fact that they're not a union at this point, I think that tells you all you need to know about wrestling. Like, it is very much a individual, out for yourself profession.
Yeah, and what makes that so crazy, Marcus, is one of the main proponents of unions in wrestling turned out to be one of the biggest scumbags in wrestling. Like, he was kind of the flashpoint for all of this popping off over the weekend.
David Starr, Starr was the one that was the most vocal about wrestlers unionizing, and he was the first one that started all this, and he will probably never wrestle again. So
there's gonna be a lot of people that Joey Ryan's, a lot of people that we ain't gonna see again.
This is it.
And I think you were right, Nate, about it being a cultural problem, not just on the wrestlers. I think it's the whole industry, because I've seen the shoot interviews where even just the journalists that are interviewing these guys and just kind of laughing at rape jokes like they're funny things, you know. And I've watched the roasts where they're kind of doing the same thing. And then it's just disgusting. The industry is a very, very disgusting place. It needs an overhaul. Journalists anybody in that journalist space, you gotta, call this crap out. WWE prides itself on all the charity work it does, but they do need to answer for this stuff too, because they've got too many poor, destitute wrestlers from the 80s and they all have stories about sexual abuse, getting taken advantage of, and all these things. And I think it's time that we listen to all these stories. I know some are going to be more true than the others, but all of them got to be listened to.
Yeah, and that's why I respect, you know, you talk about journalism, like John Pollock, somebody like that is out here doing the work, you know, and other voices, you know, like a Rich Fan, voices I just drew a blank. Kel, like Kel Dansby, you know, friend of the program, so many other.
Yeah.
Andreas, a big voice. Like, voices that, like, And I don't mean to say it like this, Marcus, but I guess I do. Like, if you're getting your quote-unquote wrestling news from a site that is just designed to generate traffic and clickbait, then that's not really news, and you're feeding into what's part of the problem. But if you actually want to get informed about stuff like this, then check out somebody like John, somebody like Kel, you know, mm-hmm. somebody like a Rich Fan. You know, check out people like that that are actually giving you reporting, you know what I mean, and giving you views on the story that are more than just, oh, gossip. Because that's what I feel like a lot of the quote-unquote reporting has been on this, just gossip. And so that's part of the culture that I think needs to be fixed as well. But before we go to our last topic, one last question on this, because somebody did bring this up during the week, and I had a different opinion. They were like, if AEW or wrestling is serious about this, then somebody like Mike Tyson shouldn't be allowed in the sport anymore. And Marcus, I might be wrong, but I kind of disagree with that. What do you think about Mike Tyson being involved in wrestling?
So I think the difference between Mike Tyson and, say, Joey Ryan is Tyson has served time for this stuff. And
yep.
I do think that we are not a society that is still, you know, one and done. Like, we love giving second chances to people. And, mm-hmm. you know, he did his time. And since he's been out of jail, he has not been involved, to our knowledge, in any of this stuff. So I think that is the difference. I mean, Tyson has, you know, paid his dues. He went through that whole process where you're talking about someone now like a Joey Ryan who has been accused of this stuff. I think we're going to see some of these guys get caught up legally in some of these accusations. And then
yeah.
you go from there. Also, listen, let's be real. Tyson, his stature allows him to sort of be worth whatever blowback you might get, you know.
Right.
That's why, you know, Jack Gallagher, that accusation came out, he was gone ASAP. Like, you know, it's just there are different rules for different people, and that's just the way of life. And, you know, you compare that to, you know, the Matt Riddle accusations, the Velveteen Dream accusations.
Right.
Yeah.
This is Monday afternoon. Both of these
Jack
guys are
Gallagher
still here.
Like, it was They fired Jack Gallagher like it was the easiest decision they ever made in their lives, man. It just kind of
got rid of him. They already had his plane ticket waiting for me. Like, all right, fam.
Yeah. So that's just, you know, it's, you know, different rules for different people. And now will AEW pull back from this Tyson angle? It wouldn't surprise me if they did.
I guess it depends on how loud the noise is.
Right now, it's not that loud, to be honest. Yeah. And, you know, the thing with Tyson, like, there's always been – he has turned himself into, like, this caricature of a person. But there's always going to be that cloud, and rightfully so, of what he did in his past. So it's sort of that balance.
Yeah, well, I think what makes Tyson interesting, and that's why I feel like Mike has maybe right is too strong, but Mike certainly can work for AEW or any other wrestling company. But I feel like you're right. Like, there's a bit of a caricature to him, but there's also a depth and self-reflection that I think Mike has gone through, you know, since he's been released and over the past 15, 20 years that a lot of these wrestlers who are being accused don't see, right? Because we get the fake apologies, right? And the apologies that end up sounding more like accusations. Whereas with Mike, I think Mike has been so honest to a point with how bad of a person he was that it's like, okay, you can see that he put in the work. And while that cloud that you said, Marcus, is always going to be there, if we do believe in rehabilitation and people, you know, earning a second chance if they put in the work, then the line's got to start somewhere, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, the I'm trying to see when the Robin Givens incident was, but it's got to be at least. So it's been 30 years?
Like that.
Let's see.
Then the Desiree Washington one was like 91.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
And then.
So what about you, Chris? Since you are speaking on behalf of Tony Khan this week.
I definitely think Mike Tyson is kind of a different beast. I mean.
As Kobe said, can you be the same animal but a different beast?
Right, yeah. I think Tyson, his biggest thing back then, I don't think that he had any business messing with an 18-year-old girl at all. I think he was like maybe
– It's another thing we learned this week. Like wrestlers, stop messing with kids.
Yeah, you can't – like 18 is just not mature, and you can't be in those situations. Just because a law says you can do it doesn't mean you should be doing it.
Right.
Mike Tyson, he's paid his debt to society. He hasn't done it again. I'm interested to see what this Jamie Foxx movie does, see if it like paints him in. And that might be a reason too. I want to say the Jamie Foxx Tyson movie is a Warner Brothers movie. I'm not 100% sure about that. I'm gonna have to look that up. And if that's the case, then AEW, Time Warner, all that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, I don't think Tyson can be compared to Joey Janela.
No, Joey Ryan.
Joey Janela listening to the podcast, what did I do, fam?
Bubba Smith and Joey Janela.
Yeah, Bubba Smith was like, I ain't did nothing this week. But let's wrap up with, you know, you talk about Tyson and TNT, and that might be a business thing. Marcus Vandenberg, Dallas Cowboys finally did business with Dak Prescott. Our long national nightmare is over.
Not really. I mean, it's just a franchise tag.
It's over for 1 year.
No, they have until July 15th to figure out the extension. And after July 15th, then we're done. So we at least have a date of when all of this will be over with, at least for this year.
So do you think that this makes Dak more or less likely to stay in Dallas? Because I think this might be the beginning of the end for Dak as a Cowboy.
I mean, Kirk Cousins did this dance for multiple seasons, but
at least two seasons, probably three, with the Redskins.
He got tagged, and then he got paid, and you know, good for Kirk for getting his money. But I think he ends up staying. I think they'll figure this out before July 15th. So I think they'll want to get it done this offseason.
Like, that's good, and he's still young. Like, he's what, 26?
26, yeah.
Yeah, like, he's still young. So, yeah, they got so many weapons now. Like, I think adding CeeDee Lamb to the squad gives him another threat in the passing game. Zeke got paid, so Zeke's still quality running back. Like, they got a short window, like maybe 4 years with this group, Marcus. So they need to go ahead and get it done.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Zeke is a lot better than I thought he would be, considering the type of player he was in Mississippi State, coming into the league.
Dak.
Yeah. Yeah, coming in right away and playing. Like, I think he's, you know, definitely exceeded my expectations. And with the weapons he has on offense and
defense, they've had a losing season since he's been a starter.
No, last year was their worst, 8-8. That was their worst under Dak, who's again played every game. Like, he's been healthy, he's been consistent, he's been improving. So at this point, just pay him the money.
Yeah, they out here paying Carson Wentz, and he only playing half of the games, Chris. But the black man got to play all games, and you won't even give him a raise.
Right? I've got little faith in the Cowboys, so I mean. Good, I guess.
That's how we'll leave it. I think that is a statement on not only Dak, Marcus, but a statement on everything we've talked about. Speaking out in wrestling, Bubba Wallace in NASCAR, Race in America. It's good, I guess.
Bubba Wallace is he's in fifth place now with 8 laps to go. So
okay, Bubba.
He's up there.
I think he's finished as high as second at Talladega.
I think so. Yeah, he was in first for a hot second.
Telling you what though, Marcus, they won't even let Bubba have this if he win, because you know half of the NASCAR fans will be like, "Oh, they just let him win because they felt sorry for him."
I know.
People are terrible. Yeah. that's an affirmative action win. It doesn't count. Yeah. Like, okay, he still get paid though.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, we're gonna wrap it up this week. Appreciate y'all for listening or watching the show, depending on what platform you're checking us out on. Chris from LA, what you got going on? I know in the midst of all this quarantine and pandemic and everything, you probably got some angry podcasts out there that you've been doing.
Yeah, well, one of the things I've been doing, I haven't been doing an official podcast, but I got free Zoom accounts with every school I work at, so I've just been kind of, like, hosting, like, discussions on race and just the things that kind of like trigger us at the moment. So that's one of the things I've been doing. And then my podcast, I'll probably do an episode this week. Right now, I'm knee deep in my doctoral program. I presented the first part of my dissertation on Saturday. So, KMEZ does it. I'm a little bit more active on Twitter now. I still don't have the app on my phone, but I when I'm home, I use it, and I'm home all the time, so, you know.
Yeah, and then, because I know Chris probably feel the same way, prayers up for your boy D.L. Hughley. Had that news. He got the COVID over the weekend. So hopefully everything turns out all right with that, brother, because we need smart black voices. Speaking of smart black voices, light skinned as they may be, Marcus Vandenberg. that was shade. That was petty, but you know.
Wow.
Marcus, it's why we can't work on. This is why we can't achieve as a people. We always tear each other down.
I can't wait for the light skin, dark skin movement to begin in 2020, where we fight back. We fight back against the dark skin people.
That's gonna be the next protest. Like, once we get everything straight this year, 2021, it's gonna be light skin versus dark skin.
Yes.
Chris gonna have to pick a side.
Pick a side. Come to on the right side.
You know. But yeah, Marcus. That'll be the new movement. Light skin lives matter.
Yes.
Just El DeBarge and Lisa Bonet marching down the streets. But Marcus, where can people find your good work and check out what you got going on right now?
You can find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
And happy belated Father's Day to you, brother, and shout Thank out to you. Young Simba, and of course your lovely wife, Marcus's first Father's Day.
Yes, so. I had Popeyes and Crown Apple for dinner. So,
that's the life right there.
It was a good meal.
But Chris, I'm just waiting for Chris to have some kids, man.
Yeah, we had a scare earlier this year. And, yeah,
Chris is like, dodge that bullet. Chris with his militant baby. Like, Chris baby ain't going to be able to drink no formula, have no powder, nothing white will touch his baby. Like, damn. You can check me out on Twitter in the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic. Check out the Patreon. If you're watching the video, you already know what it is. Patreon.com/ the Kings of Sport. Check us out on Twitter. KOS_POD, Facebook page, facebook.com/ the Kings of Sport. Got a new Rocky Maivia picture show coming out on Post Wrestling this week. It was supposed to come out Saturday, but we felt, given everything that was going on with wrestling, it ain't the time to put out a silly ass show talking about G.I. Joe Retaliation in the midst of all of that. So it'll be out this coming Saturday for everybody to check out. And last thing, DCTV podcast. We had a big charity marathon this past weekend, and we raised almost $3,000 for Feeding America. So you can check out the show, and you can still click the link. You can find it on my Twitter. I think you can still donate up until the end of the week. So you can check that out. But yeah, that's it. That's all we gonna do. So we gonna end the show and cheer for Bubba. See if Bubba can get this win.
Yeah, there's a caution flag. So when they come out of the caution, it'll be
basically a overtime sprint. So this is probably his best shot because he fell back in the lead. So
Chris is over there. Oh, it's only caution because the brother was about to win. Keep your eyes open.
Jimmy Johnson spun out. So.
So yeah, that's going to do it for the Kings of Sport this week. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with an all new edition of the World's Most Dangerous Sports Show, the Kings of Sport. KME, appreciate you as always, brother.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate you guys.
And then Marcus, we will reconvene next week. And we'll see you listeners next week. So for Marcus Vandenberg, for the professor Chris Ealy, I am the godfather Nate Milton. And I had intended to get up here and talk about how racist Robert E. Lee was, but I'm going to talk about you, Connie, sitting over there shopping while we talking about racist Robert E. Lee. If you haven't seen the clip, y'all need to watch the clip. It is hashtag Black Excellence in Action. It might be the funniest thing I've seen all day. But yeah, check that out. Shout out to whoever that black dude was in Baton Rouge at the city council meeting. And you've been down with the King.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's ass. Brand new Cadillac, being nice to be up. The kingdom changed, now can't stop the ego. Sharp as a tack, like a just... Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to leave it all on the mat. Because that's what I do when I get it done so I can do it. Yeah!